Lately, records once thought impossible in the endurance world have been falling again and again. It sounds unbelievable that we're getting so much faster. But after digging into the science of this, it all points to one big shift: the high carb fueling revolution. I'm Göran, a runner, coach and physiotherapist, and I've gone deep into the science behind this breakthrough in endurance sports. I also tested it myself, fueling at over 100 grams of carbs per hour, and as we'll get into, the results shocked me. In this video, we look at how athletes like Kilian Jornet and Tadej Pogacar are using this high carb strategy, and we'll also break down the science behind it, uncover the biggest mistake that so many runners do, including myself, and I'll finally show you how you can apply it into your own training and racing. So stick around, because if you get this right, it could change your endurance performance in a monumental way. Even as a runner myself and someone who mainly coaches runners, I still look a lot at what the pro cyclists are doing. Because to be honest, when it comes to science and training optimizations, they're often ahead of the running world. Probably because cycling is the endurance sport with the most money and resources behind it. So let's take the number one cyclist in the world right now, Tadej Pogacar, as an example. He has been open about pushing fueling rates all the way to 120 grams of carbohydrates per hour.
For hard stages, you need to get around 120 grams per hour.
And it's not just him at the Tour. This kind of hyperfueling is now the norm. On average, riders consume about 106 grams per hour, numbers that just a few years ago would have sounded completely crazy.
Like 5 years ago, 120 grams per hour, that's impossible.
On the running side, let's use maybe the greatest mountain and ultra runner of all time, Kilian Jornet, as an example. And he too has acknowledged in taking in up to 120 grams per hour during ultra events. To put this amount a bit into perspective, one regular can of soda that we've always been told contains so much sugar, which it also does, this contains about 37 grams of sugar. And these athletes are taking in more than three times this during a single hour. And they're doing it while they race up mountains or race brutal cycling races with a high heart rate. So we've seen in the last years that the long distance elite endurance athletes are able to take in extreme amounts of carbs during this kind of effort. And as we will soon get into, we've also seen that that can provide such a great benefit in performance, not only in the races itself. But why haven't athletes always done this then? So here is the crazy part. This wasn't even thinkable for athletes before, until a science breakthrough changed everything. For decades, sport nutrition guidelines told endurance athletes to aim for about 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour during exercises lasting more than 2 hours. And that number came from early research showing that this amount was roughly all the gut could absorb using glucose alone. So the whole reasoning behind this long-standing recommendation wasn't that we didn't think that athletes would perform better if they were able to absorb more than 30 to 60 grams. It was simply that we didn't think it was possible to absorb more than that. Because pushing beyond that 60 grams just meant GI distress and ruined races and training. So for years everyone just accepted that this is the ceiling. But then researchers discovered something fascinating. Our bodies can absorb carbs through two different transporters in the gut. One for glucose and another one for fructose. So by combining the two, you can push well past that old 60 gram limit. So back in 2008, this study here tested it directly. And they showed that cyclists who fueled with a mix of glucose and fructose not only was able to utilize more of the carbs, they actually rode the time trial they were tested at faster when compared to when they took glucose alone. This discovery, that has since been backed by many different studies, has led to the now standard advice of up to 90 grams per hour in long endurance events. But here is where it gets really interesting. Because in the last few years, new studies like this one have shown that athletes can go even higher when using a mix of fructose and glucose, so they can push it up to 120 grams per hour or even more in some cases, if they're able to train their guts on this higher intake. This lab study from 2022 found that cyclists who were taking 120 grams per hour had significantly higher exogenous carb oxidation. That's complicated words, but this basically means that for the super high carb group in the study, more of the carbs they consumed were actually being used for energy in the muscles. And it's not just lab data backing this up. In this randomized controlled trial, where they looked at a trail marathon and split the athletes into three different groups, the results here are pretty striking, because the runners in the 120 gram group showed less muscle damage and a lower internal training load compared to those that only did 60 or 90 grams. In other words, the more they fueled, the better their bodies held up during the race and also after the race. And this other trial showed something similar for cyclists, showing that when taking in high amounts of carbs during the exercise, they preserved neuromuscular function and also improved their next day high intensity capacity. So the evidence is pretty clear on this. The more carbs you can tolerate, the more fuel your muscles actually get, and the better you not only perform, but the better you will also be able to recover from that performance. But here's the catch. You can't just go from 30 grams an hour straight to 120. If you try that in your next race, chances are pretty big that your stomach will not be that happy. And that's why researchers have been looking into something they call gut training. This review pulled together the evidence on this, and the findings are fascinating. Just like your muscles adapt to training, so does also your whole digestive system. When you regularly practice taking in carbs during your workouts, your body actually increases the number of transporters in your gut, the little doorways that let glucose and fructose into your bloodstream. So more transporters mean you can absorb and use more of that energy with less stomach problems. So they have seen in studies that athletes who train on this not only reported fewer GI issues, they were also able to tolerate much higher fueling rates in races. And that means more energy available when it matters the most. So all of this evidence sounds great, right? But there are some ways where most athletes still mess this up, including myself for a really long time. But before we move on to that, just a quick note. I've been seeing here in my YouTube analytics that there's only 22% of you who are watching my videos lately that is actually subscribed to my channel. So hit that subscribe button if you want more science-based endurance training tips. Let's talk about this common mistake I made myself and that I see so many runners doing still that can ruin a lot of your progress if your aim is to become a faster runner. So during most of my elite career, I got this fueling part completely wrong in two big ways. Firstly, I consistently underfueled in longer races, not even sticking to the now outdated advice of 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour. I did even less than that. Early in my career, I had 2-hour races where I only took in 30 grams of carbs for the whole race, because I simply didn't know better back then. Secondly, and even more impactful, I carried a backwards belief into my training. I thought that taking in carbs during hard workouts and long workouts would somehow decrease the adaptation I could get from that workout. And I told myself that training low, running with minimal fuel, made me tougher and stronger. But really, it was just holding me back a lot. Because fueling during training doesn't weaken you. It enables you to train at a higher intensity and a higher quality in that particular session. And as the science showed, also the next day. Because you simply recover faster if you do high carb fueling during those longer and harder workouts, which will help you get ready to train hard again sooner. Over time, as you probably can imagine, that adds up into a massive difference in the quality of your training and also how much you can train over time and still handle it. And ultimately, how good you can become as an endurance athlete. And when I'm talking to runners at all different levels, it's clear that I'm not the only one who's been neglecting this and been stuck in a wrong mindset. Many runners, especially newer ones, never practice fueling during training, or only do it during long, slow rounds. They won't test their fueling at the race pace, leaving their gut unprepared to be able to handle that amount of carbs when you run fast. And then race day can quickly turn into a big stomach disaster. Because what is so cool with this is that just as with everything when it comes to training, you get good at what you train at. Many runners also underfuel in general throughout the day, especially if they're chasing leanness or weight loss. A study from the Boston Marathon found that runners with low general energy intake had a poorer general performance and were almost 3 times more likely to require some medical support during or after the race. So although there is of course some truth to that lighter is faster, the bigger truth is that over time, well-fueled athletes get faster. Some athletes, including my previous self, try some sort of train low, race high method, meaning that you restrict your carbs in general to promote more fat adaptation in your training. But systematic reviews like this one here showed no clear performance benefits in trained athletes doing this approach. And often this approach instead led to a reduction in the training quality. And looking back myself, I can see that fueling smartly would have unlocked years of performance gains. But that's the great thing with being a coach now, that I can not only help myself, but also others to avoid mistakes I made in my journey as an athlete. So after trying to ramp up my own carb intake during my harder workouts the last couple of months, I last week for the first time tried to do more than 100 grams of carbs when I chased a Strava record up Norway's second highest mountain. And I thought I went out a bit too optimistic and hard and was going to blow up. But I was extremely surprised with how good I felt the last 30 minutes of that 1 hour and 40 minute effort. Even running on a steep technical terrain at high altitude, I could really keep pushing hard and finish really strong. And this I'm sure that I wouldn't have been able to do without this high carb fueling during that attempt. But with all of this said, yeah, high carbs seems to be great for optimizing performance in endurance sport, but is it really good to pound down all of this sugar for us amateur runners? Let's go through some practical advice and how I have applied this high carb fueling as someone who wants to perform but also cares more about my health than just chasing results. Okay, so here's the way I think about it. First, there's a big difference between regular casual training and racing. So for everyday training runs, you don't need to sip 100 grams of carbs an hour, of course. In fact, most of your easy runs are better done with little or no fueling at all during the activity. You will also save money, avoid this unnecessary huge amounts of sugar, and still get the same anaerobic benefits. Refueling becomes a real game changer. It's for athletes who trains a lot and also for everyday athletes on key workouts and races. These long runs and hard intervals or record attempts up mountains where the goal is to maximize performance. That's when I now aim for 100 plus grams of carbs per hour. And the difference in how I feel late in those sessions is incredible. I don't only perform better, I also enjoy it so much more and feel fresh throughout. Secondly, as we mentioned, you have to train your gut. If you suddenly try to down 100 grams of carbs in your next race, without ever practicing it before, you'll most likely end up with big stomach problems that will ruin your whole racing experience. So start small, maybe 40 to 60 grams per hour, and then gradually increase week by week in your key workouts. We either run hard or long. And if you have trouble getting down that high amount in the beginning, remember that research shows that the gut adapts just like the muscle do to this stimuli and get better at handling it. So third, don't overthink the products. Yes, the big name sports drinks and gels works really well and are well tested. But honestly, I think that most sports fueling products nowadays work well if you train your stomach to handle it. The key thing is getting the right kind of carb mix, ideally glucose and fructose together, whether from gels, drink mixes, or even homemade solutions if you want to save some money. And finally, remember that of course you can't fuel yourself out of bad training, so check out this video where I break down how the Norwegian method has changed endurance training. Train smart, have fun, and I will see you in the next video.